Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. And now, the human condition.
It's now a human condition segment tonight. We're nearing the end of our series on the so-called fruit of the spirit with our great guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. Whole series is up on our Open House Community website, our podcast page, well worth catching up on. Tonight, we're ever so gently looking at gentleness. Lynn, welcome.
Thanks for being here.
Great to see you. How do we define gentleness then, do you say?
Well, when I looked up gentleness, I had a look at various texts as well in the Bible and had a little look at how they were using it. And sometimes they use the term humility or meekness in response, not always just the word gentleness. But I sort of used both gentleness and humility as I went through the psychology work.
Okay.
But when we look at humility, people who have humility are people who don't consider themselves too good for humble tasks. So they don't seem to see a distinction in themselves and anybody else. And gentleness implies that someone who is gentle has that ability to just be humble. Yes. in the face of anything. It's not weakness. Gentleness is rather the opposite. It's actually power under perfect control, which I think is
that's
wonderful.
That's a good line. Yes.
Yeah. A gentle person is someone who considers other people's needs and doesn't defend their own needs at the other people's expense. Mm. And a gentle leader is one who doesn't see that there are tasks below them and they value all tasks on the team, pulling their weight when they're needed. The gentle leader doesn't consider themselves greater than anyone else on the team. So they don't really work with a hierarchy. Now, one of the leading researchers on humility, whose name is June Tangney, she describes humility as characterized by the following qualities. She says that someone who has humility has an accurate assessment of themselves, including both their strengths and weaknesses.
Oh, for that gift.
Oh, for the gift. But they're not favourable or unfavourable. They're just quite open about it. They also have an openness to new information, including ideas that are different to themselves. Someone with humility has an ability to keep to see their own place in the world and keep that in perspective. Mm-hmm. And she points out that people with humility or gentleness are less inclined than the normal population to be self-serving. So they don't put themselves first. Okay. Or their motives aren't about who they are. But they also have an ability to forget themselves and move out of the middle of the frame. They go elsewhere in the frame and let other people take the limelight.
Yeah. I wonder if a proud person can ever be gentle.
Well,
that would be tough for them, wouldn't
that's
it?
That's right. She's actually saying that that's not the case. They would be quite different. But yes.
It's often been helpful as we've looked at some of these characteristics of the human condition to look at what these individual characteristics are not, especially with these fruits of the spirit. So what isn't gentleness? So pride, for
pride,
a start.
Yes, yeah. And boastful and arrogant or quarrelsome. That's not gentleness. But it's also not displaying false modesty. Pretending to be modest.
Yes.
It's not self-depreciating either. It's not putting yourself down so that, you know, other people might look good. It's not that at all. It's also not spineless.
So you can stand up for your rights.
You can stand up for your rights or the rights of others. It's also not cowardly retreating. So if you think about someone who cowardly retreats because they don't want to cause a stir, that's not that either. It's not passive selfishness. Where you're passively avoiding getting yourself into trouble, which in actual fact makes more trouble for other people.
Okay.
And it's not false humility, which then refuses to recognize the gifts that God's given you. If you've got talents and abilities that God's given you, that's to be used for God's glory. That's not humility to avoid those.
So there's a certain comfortableness in our own skin.
Yes.
And a confidence that comes from that.
Yes. That's right.
If you're Christian under God, I suppose, to be able to be gentle. So where do you say we get humility from or gentleness from?
Well, I think when we look at that, people who are happy in their own skin, they have a strong sense of their own self and they have a feeling of unconditional love, you can take that back to a person's attachment. You can take it back to how they feel loved and secure. And they don't need to put themselves forward to be accepted. So really, people with gentleness and humility are more grounded than the people in the normal population.
So do you think we can learn gentleness?
Well, that's an interesting one. And I think there's been people in the past have tried very, very hard to learn gentleness and humility. But we also learn it by watching other people when we're sort of affronted by someone's humility. And that's what we were with Jesus, when Jesus was so had so much humility and gentleness, but at the same time strong, we were confronted with it. So when we have teachers or parents or community leaders, they also give us a secure attachment. Now, what's interesting, Jim Collins is a researcher who looks at companies that have gone against the common trend in their growth.
Yes, I've heard of this guy. He's done an amazing
fantastic
work.
Yes. And he looks at companies that have gone from good, you know, just a good company to a great company. And he looks at various characteristics of the companies. But what was striking was the leadership of the companies that were great.
Yeah.
And what he found was that the leaders who displayed a humility and gentleness, while at the same time they were firm and grounded in their own ideals, they were the ones that had the great companies. Those leaders didn't sway from their beliefs or bend the rules to stay popular, but they were firm, but they were gentle, and they showed humility while they led with their large teams.
Which is so counterintuitive if you at least view the perception of leadership, certainly in the corporate world. You think, well, that's not going to get you anywhere or that company anywhere.
No, but it's interesting when he said, when you're looking for a level five leader, you ask somebody who led the project and no one will step forward, because the level five leader is not self, they don't put themselves forward, they'll put other people forward.
Yes.
So these are the leaders that have got the overalls on and they're doing the clean-up days with the team, or they're the leaders who, when something's going well, will point the finger at everybody and say, look how well they've done. But when something's going badly, they'll look in the mirror and they'll say, well, oh, gee, you know, I should have done a bit better with that.
And again, without that false humility.
They're not being false
about it.
Now, there's lots of leaders that we can look at, like Nelson Mandela, for example.
Okay, yes.
But in Australia, if we do a bit of a social psychology work here, in Australia, one of the things that we value in our culture is people who do show humility. If you look at the order of the Australian of the Year over the last few years, the way they're described is humble, humility, service to others. They're chosen because of that. So we value that. Also, we have the tall poppy syndrome.
I was going to say, is that why we like tearing down those tall poppies?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah. And, you know, it's not a very nice thing to do, but I think that's because we value people who have got real humility. We don't value the people who are big-noting themselves.
Yeah. So can we can work on our gentleness. It's interesting to kind of analyse this characteristic against the personality of people, because for a lot of people, it just might be a real struggle. So can we work on gentleness, especially for those who don't have self-esteem, high self-esteem, for instance?
Well, yes, with anything psychological, we can actually change it.
Okay.
So if you think about in psychology, we have cognitive behavior therapy, which basically means you think something and then you behave accordingly because you're thinking that way. Now, we can reverse it a bit. And what we can do then is sometimes we can behave in certain ways that are like humble people, people who demonstrate humility. And oftentimes that exposes us to the way they would think, and therefore we change. So that's some things that we could do if we want to actually help ourselves with our gentleness and our humility, is to be curious of others. Stop butting in and trying to win arguments. Just ask questions and find out how their lives are different. And what do they think? And just be interested.
So it's a very, again, counterintuitive thing in this age of, well, it's all about me.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's very different. But if we open up to listen to more to other people, what we do is that we tend to create a much more openness from them as well. They're more likely to be curious about us.
Sure.
The other things that we could do if we wanted to is in the workplace. If you're a boss or you're in charge somewhere, go and get coffees for the staff. Do something that's not expected. Go and do the barbecue on the barbecue day, or you know, maybe leave messages around the office to encourage the people who don't often get encouraged, like the cleaner who comes in late at night.
Without that false humility, and probably don't make it a flash in the pan.
That's right.
Maybe you need to turn around your management style from here on in.
Yes, yes. But noticing that other people are doing things that are good, and spending time to actually notice them is probably a really, really good thing. Now, we had that recently on television, that millionaires that had to disguise themselves in their ordinary, as ordinary workers. That was a really good exercise on watching them learn humility and actually become much more humble and gentle in response to that. Now, Benjamin Franklin, he actually decided that he wanted to have a more gentle spirit and practice humility. And what he did was he went out and deliberately decided not to argue with people or contradict people and just listen to them. And what he found was that the conversations with other people was much more pleasant. And he also noticed that other people were more likely to listen to his opinions.
Funny about that.
And he had also a much easier time recovering when his opinions turned out to be quite wrong.
Yeah. Oh, shock me. Yeah.
Another way we can do that is also we can smile at other people's successes. Oftentimes, particularly in Australia, when someone's doing really well, we tend to look at them, look down our nose and think, oh, you know,
how can I tear that tall poppy down?
Yes. Whereas if you practice smiling and say, good on them, that's fantastic. Isn't that great they've got that new sports car? And isn't that wonderful that they've just have that wonderful holiday? And you know, that's a wonderful way of actually practicing humility.
But to really mean it. Yeah.
Yes. But practicing it first sometimes means we don't mean it to start with, but after a time we start to become what we're practicing.
Yeah.
Now, this week I got a really challenging text from a colleague on my text message, and she sent me this message after a particularly challenging week.
Yep.
And she said it was from an ancient quote. It goes like this: past the seeker as he prayed came the crippled and the beggar and the beaten. And seeing them, he went down into a deep prayer and cried, "Great God, how is it that a loving Creator can see such things, and yet do nothing about them?" And out of the long silence, God said, "I did do something. I made you."
Wow, that's profound, isn't it?
It's pretty cool.
So let's quickly finish by just previewing next week: self-control.
Well, self-control. I'm going to be practicing self-control all week in order to be really good at it.
Lynn Worsley, as always, thank you so much. See you then.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.